Hello everyone, this is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Tuesday, October 13th, market recap. And this update is divided into three sections. Number one, general market analysis. Number two, mechanical trading systems. I'm going to mention just a quick comment about that. Number three, commodities, the U.S. dollar, gold, and precious metals. First off, a brief recap of today's action. If you watched today's action intraday, you know today was a very choppy, pretty much a boring day. By the close, the S&P and Dow lost about 0.2%, while the NASDAQ and Index closed about even. Commodity-wise, crude oil gained 90 cents, while gold added $6. And the U.S. dollar fell once again, of course. All the action, of course, has been after hours. In fact, the market futures have moved more after hours than I think they did intraday on Tuesday. As you know, earnings are the market is now in earnings season, and so earnings are key here going forward. Table number one shows you the key earnings. This is taken from the weekend newsletter. As you can see, highlighted there in yellow, we had Intel after the close. And so the Intel numbers are good, and as a result, the market futures are up quite nicely. I think the S&P 500 futures are up about 8 or 9 points currently, and we'll see if that holds for tomorrow. But so far, things look pretty good. Looks like we'll probably go higher, or open higher. However, if you continue to look at the earnings table here, Wednesday before the bell, we have J.P. Morgan, and that's highlighted in yellow. That's the banks. And so we'll see how that affects the market. You know, that could affect the futures negatively or positively. So again, right now it's all about earnings. And of course, this is options expiration week. Really, tonight's market analysis update is going to be very simple, folks. I'm going to keep it simple because nothing has changed. Nothing has changed with the long-term trend. Chart number two is a daily chart of the S&P 500. Again, nothing has changed. The trend remains up that began in early March. The market is on an uptrend. It is on a very strong uptrend. Yes, it pulled back once intraday today, but for those of you who are swing traders or who are managing your 401k plans, there is no reason to initiate shorts at this time. There's no reason to manage your 401k. If you went long in the market, you know, back in March or April, or even if you waited all the way till July, there's no reason to change your stance or to move your money out of long-term funds at this point because the trend remains up, and it can continue to go up until it breaks these long-term uptrend support lines. Again, nothing's changed. And as you can see on this chart, we have some Elliott wave counts. It looks like we're in some kind of final fifth wave. Now, the fifth wave, as you can see, I have a band in yellow there. The fifth wave can, you know, break down into five minor waves or an ABC structure. So it's possible this whole first move off the 50-day moving average where the market found support a couple weeks ago is some kind of wave one or wave A. And we're going to eventually we'll have a wave, a small pullback, and then we'll go higher. Ultimately, though, it looks like the market wants higher. A good target initially would be 1100, possibly to 1120, where the 50% Fibonacci retracement is. But again, you know, until the market really reverses down hard and breaks the uptrend lines and breaks the 50-day moving averages, the trend remains to the upside. Chart number three here is another daily chart of the S&P 500. Again, very simple chart without the wave counts. You can see the uptrend line from March, so that's your break point for those of you who are longer-term traders. And again, some other triggers that I would be watching on this chart are the Arun oscillator at the top, which has been very good for keeping you in the trend. It only gave a whipsaw once in early July for a sell signal, but it quickly changed over to a buy signal in mid-July. And it's been on a buy signal ever since. So watch the Arun at the top and watch the Arun oscillator, you know, if it crosses above or below zero, or below zero for a sell signal. As long as the Arun remains on a buy, this trend should remain up. Also, the 60 period stochastics, the 80% level is key. And of course, the uptrend line of the wedge. So, those of you who are long term traders, that's what you watch. I get a lot of questions about, hey, I'm a longer-term trader. I'm not interested in, you know, shorter-term day trade picks. Then, you know, if you're just interested in managing your 401ks, et cetera, then just watch a chart like this. Whenever we break these uptrend lines, then make a change in your longer-term 401ks, et cetera. Chart number four is the daily chart of SH. This is the inverse one-time ETF to the S&P 500. It's a bear fund. And this is on the watch list as a longer-term swing trade. But again, as you read the comments here, it is not triggered. And obviously, if the market gaps up on Wednesday, this will go lower. And that's fine because it has not triggered. The trigger points on this chart are a breakout from the bullish falling wedge below and the 50-day moving average, the 60 period stochastics and the 20 percentile level, and the Arun. So again, these are longer-term swing trade. This is a longer-term swing trade short to watch. It's not something to buy yet. You know, I made this chart early so that, you know, eventually the market will pull back one day. I know it doesn't seem like it ever will, but eventually it will. And this will be a chart that could be possibly bought and held for many weeks or maybe even possibly months. So again, it has trigger points and none of those have triggered. So, you know, let the market go higher. Chart number five is a point and figure chart of the S&P 500. And the yellow zone here is a thin zone. And you can see the two X's there. So the S&P 500 breaks up in that area. The S&P's got a pretty clear shot up to about 1120. That's a low resistance area. And also a 50% Fibonacci retracement from the October 2007 highs is at 1121. And so that would be that's possibly a pretty good target to the upside ultimately. You know, may or may not make it there, or it may go higher than that. Again, as long as the trend remains up, we'll continue to play the trend. But that is a potential target. Chart number six is a weekly chart of the S&P 500. And the only thing I want to show here is the downtrend line from the October 2007 highs. And you can see it also comes in pretty close to that 50% Fibonacci retracement at 1121. And so, you know, that could be, that whole area up there could be a magnet if the market wants to continue to work its way higher, which it looks like it possibly will. So that could be a target area up to that trend line, which again you can see is up at 1100 to 1120. So again, for those of you who are bearish on the market, you know, it's fine to look for a top, but try to resist the urge to pick tops. You know, play the trend. The trend is your friend. Whenever the trend reverses, you know, then you can act on shorts. Now, if you're a quick day trader, I watch the markets all day long, and so, you know, I'll take shots in the short term during the day. But I'm not holding shorts overnight most of the time anymore because the trend is up, and I'm playing plenty of long stocks. I'm playing some commodity stocks and gold stocks. That's what's working at the moment. Chart number seven is a daily chart of the NASDAQ. Again, it's no reason to discuss this too much. It's very similar to the daily S&P 500 chart above, you know, has support of its uptrend line and the Arun oscillator at the top. Charts number 8 and 9 are, again, these are the longer-term indicators that I'm watching for confirmation of a long-term trend change. Chart number 8 is a daily chart of the NASDAQ advanced decline issues. Notice that you can draw a nice, well-defined uptrend line on this indicator. When this indicator breaks the uptrend line to the downside, then I think the market will roll over. But until that happens, for now it's on a buy signal still. So it'll be one to watch going forward, but nothing has changed. Again, this is a good trending indicator. Chart number 9 is another great trending indicator. I've talked about this many times, but I want to keep discussing it. It's the NYSI Summation Index. And make sure to study the chart here fairly well. If you haven't seen this chart, you can pause the audio if you want to. Notice that it catches trends very well. Caught the, you know, an uptrend from August 2007 or 2006 all the way to almost August 2007, so almost a year uptrend it caught. And it caught most of the downtrend from in 2008 and much of it in 2007. A couple whipsaws, but generally it's caught the trends. And it went long here in April of this year. Obviously, it was about a month late, but that's fine, and it's been long the whole time, and it continues to trend up. When this indicator rolls over, I think that'll be a great indication of a longer-term trend change. But until it does, well, the trend remains up. Now, again, this indicator, though, it tends to be a little late. So by the time this does roll over, the market top will be in the rearview mirror. But again, those of you managing 401ks, you're managing longer-term accounts, I think this is an indicator to keep saved. And there is a dynamic link on the trading community, the blog. It's in the dynamic chart links. Okay. Again, I get a lot of members who send me emails saying, hey, I'm managing longer term money. I'm not interested in the day-to-day stuff so much. How is breakpoint trades helpful to me? Well, this is a perfect example of how it's helpful to you. Okay. Looking at a couple of short-term counts, charts, nothing really much to discuss here. Chart number 10 is a 15-minute chart of the S&P 500. It was posted on the blog today. You can see it broke down from a mini rising wedge yesterday, and this morning it pulled back, consolidated, but it looks like yesterday's high was probably some kind of wave 3. The pullback was a wave 4. And it'll probably, if the market gaps up tomorrow on Wednesday, it'll probably be a wave 5. So, and that's a good thing to note, guys, because if tomorrow ends up being a little wave 5 top on a gap up, I would not chase that. Because even for the bullish count, this would be some kind of wave A up or wave 1. Then you get a pullback, and I would look to buy the next pullback. Especially, you know, for swing trades. For day trades, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're nimble. But if we get a move up tomorrow, I would be, if we get a gap, big gap up on Wednesday, I'd be cautious of buying that gap. Because more than likely, gaps are sold into. And chart number 11 is just a 30-minute chart of the S&P 500. Again, nothing really important here. The MACD that had negative divergence, we got a little pullback, but MACD stopped above zero, as you can see. So, and again, the resistance is about 1080, and if futures hold where we are, where they are, we'll likely gap over that tomorrow. But again, if JP Morgan comes out with some bad earnings, that could change. Things can change dramatically overnight, of course. But there's just a 30-minute chart here. Chart number 12 is a 15-minute chart of the NASDAQ or NDX 100, and it looked. Symmetrical triangle formed here, fourth wave consolidation. Again, it looks like it needs a fifth wave up, and more likely we'll get that on Wednesday if we get a gap up. And chart number 13 is a daily chart of the XLF, that's the financials ETF. Obviously, it remains in a nice uptrend, but again, you know, longer term. Remember that the trend is up, but this is a rising wedge that is forming. Volume has been declining on the whole move up, and so we just don't get complacent. Eventually, this rising wedge will probably play out. It definitely has room to move up inside of the wedge, as you can see. It's got room to move up to make wave C, but eventually I think this wedge will break to the downside, given the declining volume, and rising wedge patterns tend to be very reliable. So that does it for the market index. Okay, the next section of this update is number 2, mechanical trading systems. Just going to make a quick comment on here. Those of you who might be on free trial to the site or brand new, realize that we have, I think we have about 10 or so mechanical trading systems now. These are mechanical trading systems that are generally based off moving average crossovers. These systems were found via back testing, and many of them we've been trading for many months. And the systems, again, are very mechanical. You get your buy and sell signals based on a moving average crossover. So they're very objective, keep your emotion at bay. And some of the returns are pretty outstanding. some of the systems that are doing quite well now are these swing systems. One of them is the SRS mechanical trading system, swing system. We have quite a few SRS day trade systems that exit at the end of the day, but we also have two SRS swing trade systems that are not necessarily exited by the end of the day. And the system involves a couple moving average crossovers as well as scale outs. And today both of the SRS swing systems went short at the end of the day. This chart here is the SRS swing system 2. It's been doing very well, and just to give you an example, if you look at table number 15, this shows you the monthly net gains based on $100,000 for each trade. You can see currently the system would be up about 12% this month already, 24% in September, an amazing 101% in April, 130% in March. So huge gains for this system. Now, obviously, you can see that the system had four 100% gains between October and April of this year. And the gains have went down since then. They're still in the double digits. And a lot of this is probably due to SRS becoming at very low levels, volatility decreasing in the market. But I think eventually if the market does put in a top, that some of these gains could come up quite a bit, especially when the VIX comes back up. But again, very objective system. The gains have been pretty good. And so, you know, if you're new to the site, you might want to check out the mechanical trading systems. And the swing systems are pretty good. Another note is that if you're not able to short SRS, because this system is basically, it buys and shorts the same ETF, you could buy the opposite ETF, which is URE, or you might want to get a different broker. Personally, I use Interactive Brokers. They seem to be the best brokerage out there for shorting any type of stock. Many other brokerages, Ameritrade, Scottrade, E-Trade, etc., you know, once in a while you have trouble shorting some of these ETFs, but Interactive Brokers seems to be very good. And anyway, so that does it for that section. If the market gaps up tomorrow, the short and the SRS swing systems will likely be up. Last section of this update is section number 3, commodities, U.S. dollar, gold, and precious metals. Commodities continue to move higher as the U.S. dollar continues to fall, and commodities are starting to do some catch-up. And the U.S. dollar, of course, continues to melt down. This chart number 16 is simply a 240-minute chart of the 240-minute chart of the U.S. dollar futures. And you can see this was taken tonight. It was starting to break some support here of a what could be a little descending triangle. And as you know, on the daily chart, we're looking for the U.S. dollar to eventually put in some kind of bottom, is a fifth wave bottom, but for now the U.S. dollar continues to be weak, and as a result it is pulling up the general stock market such as the S&P 500 and Dow, but it's also having a bullish effect on gold and commodities. So while the U.S. dollar continues to move down, the market should still have some upside. Chart number 17 is DBC. That's the commodities ETF. You can see it moved up today once again, and forming a symmetrical triangle here. It's now at the top of the triangle, so does it break out here or does it have a little pullback first? But either way, it's a triangle pattern. Chart number 18 is the agriculture ETF. This was mentioned last night in Steve's update. It moved up again today on good volume, so you could have easily bought it today. It broke out yesterday, but it moved up today, followed through. Chart number 19 is another commodity agriculture ETF, and it moved up today likewise on nice volume. Chart number 20 is a daily chart of crude oil. It basically closed right at resistance at $75, and that's a resistance. You can see crude oil is formed into an ascending triangle pattern. If this breaks to the upside, crude oil could rally up to almost the 90 level. That's where it would measure. And chart number 21 is a daily chart of USO. That's the crude oil ETF. You can see the symmetrical triangle pattern here. volume is starting to increase, but it's still quite light. And moving on to gold and precious metals, chart number 22 was gold. Gold moved up again today to a new all-time high of 1,064. And currently this evening, I think gold is around 1070. The gold, as you can see, broke out of a bullish symmetrical triangle pattern in early September. If you take the height of the pattern, it measures to a target of about 11, about 1150, about 1085 to 1100, and it's getting close to at least its first target. So let's see if it can get up to there or if it pulls back first. Either way, the 1025 area now looks like some kind of support level. Chart number 23 is, of course, the ETF to GLD. This is on the watch list, by the way. It's been on for quite a while. We had it on the watch list before gold broke out of the symmetrical triangle pattern. And so, again, this is an example of the swing trade. So we've been long GLD since early September. So that's well over a month, getting almost to a month and a half. We also have DGP, which is the 2x gold ETF, on the watch list. And our GLD long position's up about 10%, while our DGP is up 20%. So continue to trailer stops. So far, so good. And the next charts at the end are some individual gold stocks. Chart number 24 is NG. This is on the watch list, a new gold stock. And it broke out today on nice volume. I know quite a few of you caught this via the discussion on the blog. So it broke out on good volume today, as you can see. And I'd say go ahead and move your stop up to your entry. Overall, though, this pattern measures quite a bit higher. I'd say the next target would be about $7. And some other stocks to watch, HL, possibly forming a bull flag pattern. And GSS, chart number 27, an ascending triangle pattern. Chart number 29, GG. It's already on the watch list, but it does have a resistance here at 43.40. And chart number 30, KGN, it's a bull flag pattern. Resistance at 505. GLD, chart number 31, breaks out over 76. Chart number 32, IAG, symmetrical triangle pattern. And one thing you notice about a lot of the individual gold stocks, and this is a warning sign, is that they are starting to form, or at least some of them are starting to form, some negative divergence via the MACD on the daily charts. So if you've been long these for a while, it may be time to, especially if they gap up tomorrow on Wednesday, take some partial profits, take half profits, because eventually they're due for some kind of pullback here. Eventually that divergence will start to play out. So far so good, though. Let's see if they can go a little higher here. I've noticed that some of the charts have some bull flags here, bull flag patterns. And typically gold stocks have been moving with the general market as well. Really everything is pretty much moving in tandem. So if the market, the S&P, the Dow, gap up tomorrow, gold stocks will probably do the same. And typically when the market gaps up, I like to take some profits, and I might do that with some gold stocks as well. Anyway, that does it. Let's see what happens tomorrow. And remember, AIG reports before the bell. And that could affect the futures. Currently, futures are up tonight, but that could affect them. Talk to you later, and I'll see you tomorrow on the blog.